got your Bibles, let's open up to the book of Revelation. Book of Revelation. And I'm going to read a very familiar passage of scripture, and it's getting it out on me, isn't it? Y'all all right? Don't want to bother me. In Revelation chapter 21. Yep. Revelation chapter 21. And very familiar passage of scripture, and probably one that everybody here has found comfort in at some point in time in your life. And the Bible says this in verse number 1. Said, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth.
Thank God. Yep.
For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Said, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. He said, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we sure thank you for this day. Thank you for this time. And we thank you for these people. God, we thank you for the help of the Holy Ghost tonight. And God, I thank you for every song being sung. And God, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you started, God, in the choir. God, you begin to help us. And Father, I thank you, Father, for what you've done in my heart. And through every song, through every testimony, and through everything done tonight. And I pray for a few minutes of time that, Lord, you'd help us. And God, we want to honor you the best we can. And God, I pray that you'd help us to do so. And we sure love you tonight, Father, and we bless your high and holy name in Christ's name. And for his sake, I do pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I'm interested primarily what the Bible says here in the verse number 4. He said, and God that shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, and neither sorrow nor crying, and neither shall there be any more pain. I like what the writer said. He said, for the former thing are passed away. I got to think of a few things I'm going to give you. At 3 or 4 things I'm going to try to preach the message. I thought about you understand when we come to the book of Revelation and we get to this part. And what we know about the writer is that John's been in a pretty low place. And I've been there on the Isle of Patmos. That word Patmos literally means the place of my killing. In other words, we find that John has been exiled. And I'm telling you, I got to reading this the other day, and the Holy Ghost got to helping me about everything they tried to do to John, and they did none of it work. I want you to notice in verse 1 that we find that tradition tells us said many times that they plucked out his eyes. They said, John, we want you to be blind. But in verse 1, he starts out and he said, and I saw. Amen. Boy, I got to thinking about, thank God. I'm glad they could not stop. And boy, that spiritual sign, amen. And then I got to noticing this. And they tried to do what they could and to isolate John. They said, oh, John, we don't want you to be around nobody. And we don't want you to hear from nobody. And in verse 3, John said, and I heard a great voice out of heaven. And boy, I thank God. Listen, friend, I sure am glad, friend. Everybody else might leave us. And you might put us in a box. But you can't seal it up tight enough to keep God from visiting us. Amen.
And I want you to notice what he said at verse number 4. They tried to discourage John. But John said, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death." Instead of discouraging John, thank God they encouraged him. Amen. And then I thought about this. In verse 5, they tried to shut him up. They didn't want him to say nothing else. But the Lord said, "He that sat upon the throne said, and behold, I make all things new. He said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful." I thought, no doubt, John probably thought what he saw and what he heard he'd never get to tell nobody. But God said, "Write those things down." And to thank God where we're standing at today, every time we open up the book of the Revelation, every time we get to reading about this thing, I dare say there's probably not a more studied book in this world than the book of Revelation. Amen. Every time they open that thing up, God just reminds John, "Hey, you just do the writing, amen, and I'll do the telling." Thank God. And we, hey, listen, ain't none of my business and what God does with what he does, amen. And my responsibility and your responsibility is to be faithful, amen. But if the Lord help us tonight, I got to thinking about some things that the Lord put in my heart. I try to preach as fast as I can, but I'm going to take my time at the same time, amen. I'm going to say this to you, friend. I thought about 3 or 4 or 5 things tonight that the old John got to looking for while he was on the Isle of Patmos, and he just couldn't seem to find them. There's a few things you understand. Old John has gotten transported, and everybody stay with me and hang tight. But old John has gotten transported, and God has let him see into that glory world. And the boy, when John gets to see it in that glory world, and no doubt in my mind, he gets to looking for some things, and gets to noticing some things that just don't hardly seem right. And some things he's seen his whole life, and everywhere he looks, they just ain't there. I thought about the first thing you find. It's in verse number 1. I preached on this a little bit before, but if I preach it before, I'll preach it again. Amen. He said, "And I saw new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." Now listen, I understand. But James, we can spiritualize this all we want to. But the fact of the matter is that John is on the island of the Patmos. Amen. Hey, you know what that means? Thank God. That means everywhere he looks is water. Amen. That means as far as his eye can see, he's on a 3-mile line. It's about 15 miles long. And everywhere he looks, all he sees is what separated him from everybody he loves. But old John standing there, thank God. And when he looks up into heaven, he said, "As far as I can see, there ain't no more sea." Amen. He got to looking around. He said, "Wait just a second, neighbor. I just see old John." Hey, listen, friend. As much as he's longed in his heart to cross over that sea and to get back with the brethren, and thank God, Jordan, when he gets to heaven and God shows him the new Jerusalem, he said, "No more sea there." Amen. I'm glad tonight, thank God. That means there'll be no more separation. It's not a place, thank God, that separate us from our loved one. That makes me pretty happy there. Amen. But listen, I thought about John. Hey, you remember there was a time or two. John was out on the sea and he got caught in a storm. Amen. And there's no more separation and there's no more storm. I'm glad when we get to that fair city, he looks out across that thing. You understand? Listen to me, friend. Everybody make sure everybody understands this. And where John's talking about, it's not like Destin. Amen. It's not like down in Florida. And there's not sunny beaches and condos where the sea's at. Amen. And what you find there, thank God, it's a rocky place. Everywhere just about you'll read in the Old Testament, and the sea was a place of great danger. It was a place of roaring waves. It was a place where they'd come, and it was a place to be feared. And old John said, "I looked as far as I could see," and he said, "There wasn't no more sea." Amen. I don't know about nobody else. I'm sure looking forward to the time, and there'll be no more storms in anybody's life. Boy, that'll be a good day, won't it? Amen. That'll be a good day, thank God. And when we wake up, and I ain't got to check the weather and to see where the winds are blowing. I ain't going to look out to see if a hurricane's coming. I don't have to have no preacher say that tonight you're in one of three places. And you're either in the storm, out of the storm, or getting ready to face another. There'll be none of that no more, friend. There'll be no more storms, amen. I'm sure John's sitting there in that place and looking out, and he said, there's no more sea. There's no more separation. There's no more storm. I thought about this. There'd be no more sinking, amen. How Peter was in the boat that day. And Brother Ricky Ward, whenever Peter and John was in the boat that day, rather. And when old Peter went down, amen. And when the waves got high and Peter went down. And old John looks out that day and he said, there'll be no more sinking, amen. Unless I've told folks this. I'm sure they probably folks feel like this tonight. There's times in our life that the best we're doing, and we feel like we're trying to keep our head above water. And thank God there'll be none of that in heaven, amen. I mean, listen, John's looking for a place, and he said there'll be nobody trying to keep their head above water. Oh, no, there'll be no sinking on that day, amen. And I'm saying this, friend. Oh, John got looking out, and he said, there's no more sea. There's no more suffering. There's no more separation. There'll be no more storm. That'll be a glad day in our life, amen. I thought about this. This makes me happy. If there's no more sea, that means there's no more shipwrecks, amen. That means, thank God, it's not nobody else that'll ever make a shipwreck with their life. That means there'll be no more times that old Kevin, that Brother Jonas, is saying. That means there'll be no more times I'll get any holes in my boat. There'll be no more times that I'll strike land. There'll be no more times that I sail in the wrong waters. I'm telling you, thank God, listen, there is no more sea, but there is a river, amen. And listen, that might not help you not. But old John looks out as far as he can see, Ty. He says, I don't see a sea. He said, but I sure see a river, amen. And in that river, it's clear. And that's Revelation 22, amen. There is a river, thank God. And it's as clear as crystal. And it proceeds out of the throne of God. I don't know how he knew that, other than he must have went there in his mind and traced that river plumb up to the source and found out it came from the throne of the Lord, amen. That's a pretty good place to come from, don't you think? I'm saying, listen, friend, that first thing here is, old John got to looking for and he couldn't find. He couldn't find no more sea. But then look with me, if you will, in verse number 4. And the Bible said, and God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes. Old John got to looking at 10 million times 10 million. And now listen, I don't know, this is, y'all just hang tight with me right there. But I imagine as he gets to watching everybody, he's been in a church service or two. He's been around some folks a time or two. He was there at the graveside when Mary was weeping. He's seen old Lazarus and them come up with tears in their eyes. But old John gets to looking across the crowd, and he don't see nobody. He don't see nobody giving it this right here. He don't see nobody doing this right here. He don't see nobody wiping like this right here. Old John gets to looking around. He said, wait just a second. Ain't something missing in every eye that I see. And there is no more tears. I say hallelujah to God. Amen. And listen, I got thinking about this. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost got to helping me, friend. And when I study on some of these things, he starts off by saying that there is no more pain. That means there's no more physical issues. Amen. I mean, there's no more death, rather. That means there's no more physical issue. Ain't nobody going to die. There'll be no more tears shed around the coffin of any loved one. And boy, that'll be a happy day. Amen. And then he said, there'll be no more sorrow. And that means there's no more mental pain. Amen. And thank God. Amen. Hey, listen, friend. I'm saying this. There'll be no more crying. There'll be no more emotional pain. He said, there'll be no more pain. There'll be no more spiritual pain. Amen. Hey, listen, here's the thing. That's some of them things that help me. I mean, thank God, there'll be no more time. And now listen, all of you here have probably got physical pain. Hey, it's a day or two you'll wake up and you'll say, man, I feel pretty good today. Amen. And my bones ain't hurting today. Everything feels all right. But you know if tomorrow comes, hey, you probably probably going to hurt again tomorrow. Amen. And there's times that some of us, we got emotional pain or have mental pain, and you have a good day. But you know a bad day's a coming. Hey, you know there's a day coming, and you're not going to have the same victory that you're standing in today. But what, boy, when old John looks out, and John sees in that new Jerusalem, he said, God wiped away all tears from their eyes. Old John stretched out, and he heard the last crack of his bones for the last time. He said, there's no more pain there. Amen. And thank God there's nobody crying. And thank, look here, friend. There'd be no pharmacist with antidepressants. Amen. There'd be nobody sad on that day, thank God. And there'll be no infirmities. Oh, Kevin will be out of business, amen, in both professions. I'll not be dispensing drugs, and I'll not be preaching no messages, amen. All I'll be doing is worshiping somewhere yonder. I say hallelujah out of the Lamb of God, amen. Oh, John gets to looking, and he says, I don't see no more tears, amen. Oh, boy, that makes me, you know what that must mean? That must mean that page 180 in the old red back hymn book, everybody will be happy over there. That must mean that's true, amen. Everybody will be happy over there. I'm saying this, what a day it'll be. And that's not just, friend, that it's the absence of pain. It's the fact that we know it'll never come again, amen. I mean, what about that? Listen, I don't want to depress you or nothing like this, but I'm probably going to right here. I'm going to depress you a little bit. If you live long enough, you're going to hurt more than you hurt right now, amen. Oh, yes. Your body's not made to last here forever. There'll come a time for you that they'll put us in a hospital bed, and despite what they hook us up to, and despite whatever they give us, it's still going to hurt, amen. It's going to be days ahead. I wish I lived on the sunny banks of Jordan, but thank God right now it's not where I live at. I live right here on this world, and there's still going to be tears, and there's still hurts. It's all those things. But old John said, I've never seen none of it, amen. And so John didn't see no tears. And we find here John didn't see no sea. I want you to watch on now. Listen, I know this is a real simple preaching, but you stay tuned. It'll help you tonight. And the Bible says this in verse number 22. And John said, I saw no temple. Amen. And John said, boy, I listened. He said, I got to looking around, and I thought there must be a temple somewhere. But he never did find one. Amen. He never found a temple. Thank God. I'm sure of this, Brother Sam. I'm sure that old John probably went back in his mind, and he probably thought about John chapter 2. He's the one that recorded, if you destroy this temple in 3 days, I will raise it again. Amen. He said, well, I don't see a temple, but there is still worship. Amen. I'm glad we ain't got to be right here. I'm glad, thank God, when he looked up in heaven, he did not see a temple. Amen. And you say, preacher, why? That means a few things if there's a temple there. That means, number one, it's a place of segregation. Us Gentiles can't get in. Amen. And we're in that outer. Don't look at me like that. Somebody help me. I mean, listen, friend, you're on the outside and you can't get on the inside. You're in the outer court of the Gentiles. But thank God when John looks up there, he says, I don't see no temple up there. I don't see nowhere where there's no segregation. There be no separation. Amen. And we'll not wait on a high priest who can just go into the holy place one time a year. And thank God there'll be no church service where everybody's got to sit back and listen to a sorry preacher. Amen. And there'll be a day, thank God, on that day, and we'll all be around the Lamb of God, and we'll all be worshiping together. Amen. Oh, John, listen, that might not help you, but it helps me. Amen. And there'll be no more tears, nobody crying. There'll be no more suffering. There'll be no temple in that place. And the Bible said, for the Lamb of God's there. I mean, the Lamb of God's the temple of it. And thank God, listen, that's a blessing. You remember in Matthew, he said this. He said that there is one that's greater than the temple. You know who he's talking about? He's talking about himself. Amen. Yeah. What a day. Amen. What a day. Thank God. Hey, listen, I was thinking about it. Jonah sang that song. I'm glad not only did the Lord let me come back home, but he didn't treat me like a second-class citizen when I got there. Amen. And now, listen, I imagine probably the elder brother, I mean, as hateful as he was, he probably treated him like he was a second-class citizen. But the father never did. Amen. And the father just said, come on back home. Thank God. And I'll treat you right. I'm sure glad that's what he's done, ain't it? Amen. And now listen, you all understand this. You ain't got to go plumb down to Sodom to be out of the will of God. Amen. You can sit right here Sunday after Sunday and not be right with God. Amen. Oh, yes. Old John got looking out there though, and he said, I don't see no temple. And so I thought about that was a blessing. Now watch this. And verse number 23, not only did he not see a temple, but the Bible said in verse 23, and the city had no need of the sun. And I'm gonna shipwreck some of you right here. But I want you to understand this. And the Bible does not say that there's not a sun. And the Bible just says we don't need it. Amen. Amen. And listen, and thank God. Now you read that again and see what it says. It does not say. And John said, there is no sun. Now I like that song. And if folks get up and they sing, there's not no sun, that's not going to hurt my feelings none. I'll still shout her down every time they sing that song. But that's not what the Bible says. Amen. What the Bible says is they'll have no need of it. Amen. You know why they'll have. Now it might still be there. And Brother Keith, it might not. I don't know. I'm not sure about that part. But what I'm sure about is this. Whether it is there or it ain't there, and the light of the sun pales in comparison and to the brightness of Christ. Amen. And so we don't have no need of it. Amen. And thank God. Ain't that right? Oh, John just looking up there. He says, boy, I feel something on my face. That must be the sun. Amen. And but the longer he looks, he says, I don't see a sun. He said, that must mean it's nighttime. And he got to looking and he couldn't find the moon either. Amen. He said, I don't understand it. I've been sitting here for days now and I've not felt not the slightest bit of darkness. That's because the Bible said God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Amen. And so thank God. Listen, in heaven there won't be no shadows. Amen. Ain't that a blessing? I know that might not do nothing for you, but it sure helps me. You say, preacher, how do you know there won't be no shadows? And the Bible says, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That means, thank God, that if God don't move, you understand, 12 noon looking straight down. I mean, when the sun's shining at its peak and you're not casting a shadow down. But friend, when we get to heaven, the light there will be so bright, it won't be not one dark place. Amen. And now listen, that's why you're not going to be in a 5,000 square foot mansion hiding out in the third floor watching the young and the restless. We're going to be worshiping the Lamb of God. Amen. You don't have need of all that stuff when you're around the Lord. Amen. That right? I'm around folks all the time. They'll say, boy, just Lord, if you just give me a little cabin down here, I'll take a mansion over there. For what? Somebody help me. For what? I know I shipwreck folks every time I get right there. And you say, preacher, I'm going to get me a mansion. You'll have a room, amen. I got a sneaky suspicion I know where that place will be. It's the same place I've always been, amen. Abiding in Christ, thank God. Oh, yes. It's always been just absolute mystery to me how folks say they're going to get to heaven and shut the doors and shut all the saints out, amen. They say, we don't want to worship with the Lord. We don't want to fellowship with the saints. Why do you want to go to heaven then, amen? I don't know if you understand what heaven's about. Heaven's about the Lord, amen. It's about worshiping the Lord, being in the presence of the Lord, amen. It's not about hiding in your basement on the first street, thank God, on the other side of the city of gold. It's about being with the Lord, amen. Ain't that right? Smile at me, praise God. Now listen, you can sing that song about mansion, that's fine. I'll shout it out when you sing it. But I'm not thinking about the same thing folks are thinking about when they sing it. Ain't that right? How big is your mansion anyway? I just got a curiosity. Wonder how big it is. I said, oh, brother, the Lord's up in heaven. He's preparing me a mansion. Amen. Like the Lord's some second-rate carpenter. Amen. You understand? He stepped out of nowhere, spoke the words, and everything you see is there. I'm going to have to move on. He said, the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. I thought about, thank God, you get in that fair city, that light will shine everywhere. It'll shine on everyone, and it'll light up everything. Amen. That's what blessed old John gets to looking around. He said, man, everywhere I see, the only thing I see is the light of the glory of God. Amen. Once you watch this, I'm done preaching. I want you to watch this verse with me, will you? And I'll be done. I'll try to be. Here's what he said in Revelation chapter number 22. Whenever he starts this off,
He said in verse 1, he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, there was a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, yielded her fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. He said, and there shall be no more curse. Oh, John got to looking around. He said, Lord, there's got to be at least a little bit of a curse somewhere. But as far as he can see, old John's looking. And he said, you know what I noticed that ain't there? He said, there ain't no curse there.
Thank God.
And I don't know how this happens exactly. But while John's looking for the curse, God shows him a tree. You know what's real neat about that? The Lord done the same thing for me one time. I was under the curse. God showed me a tree. Amen. And listen, you know what's real neat about this tree? You go read your Bible and see what all it says about it. I'm going to tell you what, this tree's a pretty amazing tree. I don't understand how God fits it, and I don't have to. I'm not a physics major, and I ain't even got to figure it out. All I know is this tree's so big, it's on both sides of the river. And it's still in the middle of a street. Is that what your Bible said? No, I didn't make this up. I tried to find if somebody ever tried to draw it. And everybody who tried to draw it, they paled in comparison. You know what makes that, I got thinking about this. That means no matter which side of the river you're on, you still got access to the tree. Amen. There's only one street, and guess where it leads? Somebody help me. You know where that one street leads to? The tree. Amen. I got thinking about this, and you stay tuned with me right here. The Bible says that tree bears 12 manner of fruits. Listen, it bears them every month. There'll still be time in heaven. It'll just not be the same kind of time we count down here. Amen. I want you to understand this. That means there'll never be a barren month when you get to heaven. That tree will bear fruit every month like clockwork. Amen. You know, I think the Lord's doing this, and I'm going to have to quit right here. I'm done. But I want you to listen to me. Now, hear me just for a second. He sees something. He says, man, he says, I see the leaves of that thing for the healing of nations. I got to thinking about it. I thought, Lord, that's peculiar. And I ain't got this thing figured out. And I don't know nobody that does. And maybe you do. Maybe you know it all. I don't know. But if you do, you help me. But I'm going to tell you this about this tree. I'll tell you what I think the Lord done with it. I think the Lord plucked up that tree out of Eden, that tree of life. And he transplanted it. And he planted that thing right in that celestial city. Right. I'll tell you what he told that church at Ephesus. He said, whoever overcomes, he said, I'm going to let you eat of that thing. Right. he didn't shut nobody out. He said, you can eat of it. But I don't know why we'll need any healing on that day. But they'd have sure needed it back then, wouldn't they? The Bible says the leaves were. You write that up however you want to, but he said the leaves were for the healing of nations. I've read folks that say that that's in the millennial kingdom, and it might be. God might let folks have a hold of that thing in the millennial kingdom. I don't know. But I'm going to tell you this. When I get here on this day, I'll have a brand new body. They'll not need no more healing. Amen. Ain't that right? Boy, they sure need it back. Listen, I'm done preaching. I want you to, you stand to your feet. I've cleared my heart. I thought I might say some more, but I'm not going to. I'm going to stop right there, and I'm going to say this. I want you to understand, there are some things that John saw. He got to looking for in heaven, and he just couldn't find them. Man, I got to thinking about all the things that we'll not find in heaven. And there'll not be none of them crutches right there, Brother Bill. There'll not be none of them. There'll not be none of them knee replacements, Brother Doug. There'll not be no chemotherapy treatments. There'll not be no little babies that'll be in a grave. There'll not be none of that stuff. We get to heaven on that day, friend. Thank God those that are going, there's some things we'll not never find. But I'm going to tell you this. We're going there by the good grace of God. What'll still be in heaven, I'm done preaching. I got to say this. I have to. This morning I was taking up whoever gave me the offering plate from whatever side they gave it to me. I took that offering plate, and I went over here, and probably the folks over here saying, but there was a bill fell down, and I stepped on it. And I stepped on it, and I looked down, and it was a $5 bill. And the Holy Ghost smote my heart right then. He said, can you imagine I'm going to do that much good for all you folks? And then you'll just step all over the grace of God down here. And boy, God smote me in my heart.
Oh, yeah.
I went home and I got thinking about all the things that wouldn't be there. And the Holy Ghost said, that grace that you was walking on, it'll still be there on that day. Amen. I've cleared my heart. I've done the best I could. You play some song, whatever the need might be. I don't know where you're at tonight.